we really believe this is a great day and a, you know, a launching pad for the future. Amen. And so, you know, I just want Brother and Sister Broadus to come forward. I asked them last night to share some favorite memories from their 32 years as the founding pastors. But as they were sharing with me on their deck back a month or so ago, and they began to tell me how God ended up bringing them to Gunnersville, Alabama. And when I heard it, I was just moved to tears because, and I'm going to say this now and I'm going to say it when they get done, them coming to this place was a God thing. Amen. It was a God thing. And I asked them just to take a few minutes this morning to just share how God actually turned their hearts towards North Alabama first and then Gunnersville, if you would do that. Would you give them a hand this morning? Let me make sure it's, yep, we're ready.
Quick commercial. There's no way we can tell it all at one time. So if you want to know the whole story, it's in this book. $20 out in the foyer. Everybody get one. Thank you. Commercial is over. All right. Thank you, Brother Gary, for giving us opportunity to do this. Well, we were young 20s. We had been married very long, had three children. We moved to Butler, Alabama. And that was a God thing. You know, what people don't understand is, if you want to be used of God, God's going to direct your steps, and you don't even know He's directing them. But God placed us in Butler, Alabama, and there we found people that mentored us, and there we were introduced to missions. That church was a mission church, still is a big mission church. And in fact, one of the children that grew up with our children is a missionary, Doug Jacobs. Mm-hmm. And he was a little fellow played with ours. And by the way, I'm glad the two of our children and their spouses with us this morning, Tanya and Danny, raise your hand. I won't make you stand up. But they're back here in the back. Spouse, raise your hand. Dwanell, raise your hand. There you go. Don't be ashamed of us, okay? Okay. Anyway, we moved up Butler, Alabama, and there we were mentored and got introduced to missions. That church had missionaries coming all the time, and we were just absolutely blown away. And I didn't know anything about missions, but I was elected as the WMC president at the church. Cindy, you remember that? Women's Missionary Council. And I learned about it. And so I had to raise money for missions. And I got all excited because all these missionaries was coming, and we were learning what they were doing. And so I was ready to make money any way I could because I got to asking the Lord. I said, now, Lord, all these missionaries are going all over the world doing things. Who's going to pay for it? Lord spoke to my heart and said, you are. I said, woo, woo, woo. Well, if I am, I better get busy. So I began to have yard sales and bake sales and all that. And who was it? What were they having? The pet
Union
potato.
Labor Day.
The Union Labor Day, where Stan was working at that time, came to me. He went to our church and he said, Christine, you want to make some money for missions? I said, oh, yes, I do. And he said, well, we need potato salad made for a Labor Day picnic that the Union was going to have. And I said, well, how much money will I make? And he said, $90. Well, $90 then was like making about $500 now. Well, I was tickled to death. I said, well, how much do you need? He said, 500 pounds. I said, we'll do it. I had never seen anything more than a 10-pound bag of potatoes in my life. I went to the Piggly Wiggly, and I ordered 5 100-pound bags of potatoes. When I went to pick them up, I said, oh, my Lord God, what have I done? I've got to go tell these ladies that we've got all these potatoes, and how are we going to peel them? How many eggs do we need? How much mayonnaise? How many onions? What have we done? And the ladies, when I told them, one of the ladies spoke up and said, my aunt works in the kitchen at the school. She'll do it for you. She'll get it done. She told us exactly how much to do. And Stan, along with two or three of the men and four, five, six of the ladies, we met at the church, not the church, but the kitchen about 2 or 3 o'clock one morning. And we made 500 pounds of potato salad for missions. You know what we felt like? If God tells you to do it, don't worry about how it's going to get done. Step on out there. If God told you to do it, He's going to provide the need for it. So anyway, we went to Butler and got involved in missions and all that. And there was a missionary that came to our church at that time at Butler. And he was going to start a church in Scottsboro. We didn't even know where Scottsboro was. So we supported him. And it worked for a while. I don't know how long, but after a while, it didn't go. And so we quit supporting him, and he went on somewhere else. But we always wondered what happened to North Alabama. And we prayed for him. We prayed for North. Never been here. Never been to North Alabama. Hadn't been any further than Montgomery, I don't think. We might have went a little further, but not. We didn't know where it was. And so we went on serving the Lord and involved in missions. And a little bit later, Stan was called to preach. And we went to a church, a little church we pastored in Toxie for a few months, well, a year and a half. And then we felt like God was moving us to Montgomery. So we went to Montgomery, and there Stan started pastoring. So I've been talking 90 miles an hour. So now I'm going to let him tell what happened after Montgomery.
Well, first of all, I can't talk 90 miles an hour. But we went to Montgomery, and literally the church just exploded. I don't know whether you remember that, Brother Ken, but you know the Lord just done a wonderful work there. And you know, so we kind of settled into that and thought we would be there for the rest of our lives. And about 6 years into that ministry, God began to deal with us again about the call. I want to say this, the call, when you obey the call, it's going to affect your life and other people around you, I can assure you. And even today, that call that God placed on our life is still been in effect. And some of you are here, or well, most of us are here, because of the call that God placed on two people that had no idea how to do anything unless the Lord helped us. And so about 6 years into that ministry in Montgomery, God began to deal with us again about North Alabama. Never been here. And, you know, it still amazes me, the puzzle that God puts together. God will bring someone over here, miles away, a half a world away. God will begin to put the pieces together that you don't see now. But God will eventually assemble those pieces and put the puzzle together.
In the meantime, God was preparing us even before we went into ministry. I was preparing with music. The Lord knew I was going to use that one day. My grandmother held a switch on the piano and said, "You're going to play and you're going to play for God." Well, I didn't know that. I didn't want to play. My teeth hurt, my tongue hurt, my toes hurt, and she said, "Play." He learned to do carpentry work. The Lord knew that we were going to need these skills one day to pastor, so He trained us before we ever got the call. So get trained. God's going to use you.
Now you make me forget where I was.
That's all right. Yeah.
I have to, you go at 90 miles an hour, I have to go back to 30, you know. So while we were pastoring, like I said, God really blessed us at the church we were at in Montgomery. And like I said, we thought we'd be there. But in 6 years, we began to think about North Alabama again. What we're going to do? And that became more intense in our lives about coming to North Alabama, not knowing how we're going to get there. The church in Montgomery was always building, and as a result, we never had any money. We didn't have any money. And when that time came, matter of fact, about a year before that I resigned the church in Montgomery to come to Gunnersville, I had written out a resignation and placed it in my drawer, and I told Christine and I both said, "There's going to be a time. We'll know when the time is right for us to resign the church." And what we were going to do is we were going to just sell everything we could sell, put in a U-Haul trailer, and just head north.
Dumb idea. God helps people that has dumb ideas. So go ahead.
Back to 30 again. Y'all tie her up somewhere. But God begin to deal with us. And we used to have a prayer meeting on Saturday night. And really, I think the prayer meeting is a thing that kind of kept the church going. You know, it kept us going and kept the church going. But one night, she was on one side of the building. I was on the other side of the building. We were praying. And our looks, we locked. And we knew that this was the time.
We nodded our heads.
And again, not knowing anything, I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know the protocol to doing all of this stuff. So the next morning, I just took out the resignation and went to the pulpit and read my resignation, and I resigned. And somebody said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "You know, God has spoke to us to go to North Alabama, build a church." "Well, where are you going to go?" "I don't know."
We probably didn't have enough gas money to get to North Alabama.
probably true.
He's poor.
But I resigned, and the church just went into a, I don't know what you, they just fell apart, you know, because the board gathers together and said, you know, why don't y'all just take a vacation somewhere and then come back and tell us what you want to do. I know you're under stress and that kind of thing. And we just, well, Lord told us this. And on the, that was Sunday. On the Monday morning, our superintendent, Brother Vaudy Lambert, had a project on the board. They had already bought property, and they had already had begun a program in our church called Church and Development Program, CPND. And they had a project on the drawing board to come to Gunnersville, Alabama, and start a church on 3 acres of property on Spring Creek Drive, which is right out the road there. I didn't know that. We were just going to load up everything we could and head north, you know, do the best we could. I don't think I even had a paycheck in advance. I don't know. But anyway, I went to a meeting that I was in charge of, and I had invited Brother Lambert to come. And he came because he was the superintendent, but he was a bookman. And I asked him to bring his books and, you know, introduce to the pastors, you know, about, you know, study books and things like that. So he came. And I said, Brother Lambert, I said, I haven't told you this, but yesterday I resigned the church at Westside Assembly in Gunnersville. And he looked at me for a minute. He said, you know, I wouldn't have asked you to do this while you was pastoring because y'all was having such a great ministry there. He said, but since you have resigned, haven't you? Yes. He said, we have a project on the board, the CPND has. We want to plant a church in Gunnersville, Alabama.
Over that way to these fine people over here, too.
How y'all doing? Good to see y'all. You know, I was going to get here eventually. I'm 30 miles an hour.
I help him in every little way I can.
But I said, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. We're just going to get a U-Haul and load it up and head north. He says, we got this project in Gunnersville, Alabama. And he said, you know, the town is situated on a beautiful lake in the mountains. And he said, when I began to announce throughout the district that we were wanting to build a church in Gunnersville, Alabama, he said, I began to get resumes from all over the state. Matter of fact, he said, I got a stack on my desk right now of people saying it's God's will for them to come to Gunnersville, Alabama. They had Lake Idas, you know. But he said, will you consider, you and Christine, going to Gunnersville, Alabama? I said, I don't even know where it's at. He said, it's in North Alabama. He said, why don't we just take a ride up there, Lillian and I, his wife, and Christine and I, just take a ride up to Gunnersville and let you see what you feel.
Before that, you came to where I was working, and you told him the story. And I said, let's get a map out. And I want to tell you, this is the part, Brother Gary, where the goosebumps just begin to come. We got a map out, and I said, oh, look, it's just about an inch from Scottsboro. About an inch from where our heart had been praying for, and our heart had been being drawn to this area. And I'm getting them right now. They used to call them holy doodads. Anybody ever remember that? No, they don't, y'all too.
But 30 miles an hour.
Holy Brother Ken's got to preach.
Can you preach short again? So the four of us came up to North Alabama. There was not an Assembly of God church, I don't think, at that point, even in the county. There was very few churches across the Tennessee Valley, Assembly of God churches. But we come down that mountain, and when we began to come down, we saw this city of Gunnersville, Alabama. It wasn't the lake by any means, but the call of God that had been brewing in us for now years began to come up inside of us again. And it was just like, you know, how can I contain myself? Because I felt like this is where God, in all of our lives, even from children, when God put her behind the piano, and her grandmother with a switch on the piano said, "You're going to play it." From that time, even to where we were, God was putting the puzzle together so that there would be a church in Guntersville, Alabama, where you could get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and be healed and be touched in your life. That's why God had placed a call on us. And we came to this empty lot here on Spring Creek Drive, and we said, "We'll come." And we loaded up a U-Haul, rented a house, moved our family here.
These two children came with us.
If it had not been for our children, we couldn't have made it. You know, Danny was there helping with all the stuff we had to move and everything. And Tanya was there in the services helping us. It was just a family ordeal, you know, for
but
us.
Every time we tell the story again, we feel that fresh anointing again, knowing that God placed us here. Thank you, Brother Gary, for letting us.
You know, I know this. I'm going to say something else.
Oh.
I didn't mean to make that so forceful. I'm sorry. But I can tell you again, the call of God is a very strong thing in a person's life.
Yes, it is.
And obedience is the next key. That we got to do what, even how far-fetched it might seem, if God has spoke to you and the call of God is there, you move and God moves with you. And again, the church is here because of the call. And not only now, for those past years, and we've looked in the past for this weekend a lot, but let's look to the future.
Amen.
Because long after we're gone, this church is going to be here and people are going to be saved.
Amen.
And people are going to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And it's all because that God saw two people. He said, "Well, okay, we'll use you." And here we are.
Thank you, Brother Gary.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Give him a hand. Praise God. Amen. I told you it was a God thing. And it's still a God thing. And what a shame it would be to stop now. Amen. God's got so much he wants to do. And guess what? This community needs a spirit-empowered, passionate, Bible-believing, loving church as much as it's ever needed it.
Amen.
Amen? And you know what? I'm excited that I can be a part of that. And you know, we have such a great history and heritage here. And in light of what God has already done, in light of that, we believe that this church was founded with a purpose that reaches into the future, as Brother Broadus just said.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. And there's a paper in every one of your seats just like this, or it was. And if you don't see one, there's plenty of extras up here. What we're going to do after Brother Drawn brings the Word of God to us is we're going to ask you to write your prayer or your dream. You can state it however you want to. We're going to take it as your prayer for the future of this church over the next 10 years. And we're going to ask you to take it, and we've got a time capsule made by the skilled labor of Randy Brown, and we're going to be bringing it and putting it right here. And after his sermon is completed, we're going to challenge you to write this out and put it in that box. Immediately after that, we're going to seal it up, take it out these doors around here back by the playground. We've got a hole dug, and we're going to bury the time capsule. And we want, here's what we believe. We believe the next great step for this church starts with prayer.
Amen.
And it starts as a dream in our hearts. And we believe in the power of agreement. When God's people pray, Jesus made it clear, when we pray in agreement, there's power there. And so what we want to do is we want to end this morning's proceedings and celebration and worship with a moment where we agree in prayer for the next 10 years of this church. And I'm only willing to go 10 years because I don't know if Jesus is going to wait that long.
Amen.
I mean that.
Amen.
So I just want you to be thinking about that. And so just keep this handy. And, you know, the Lord may speak to you even while our special guest is speaking. and maybe you want to write it down. But we're going to do that. Nobody's going to read this. You can put your name on it or not. God knows. And whoever opens that box in 10 years from now, I say, if Jesus don't come, I hope I'm one of them. But, you know, God knows. So we have the privilege this morning of the leader of the Alabama churches, the Assemblies of God churches all across our state, the Alabama Network of Assemblies of God, Pastor Ken Drawn is with us today. He's the pastor's pastor. He's my pastor. And so he gives great guidance and leadership to the 300 plus Assemblies of God churches spread across Alabama, and has just done a tremendous job. He also pastored at one time as a pastor just like us here, and did an awesome job at a church near Mobile, Alabama. And so it is a privilege to have him and his wife Cindy come today. And I just want you to give them a hand. These are great leaders for our fellowship. And I know many of you, you're not familiar with the broader Assemblies of God umbrella, but God has blessed us so much in so many ways, particularly with these leaders. Would you give them a hand this morning as he comes?
Hold on, I've got something for you. You know, Pastor Broadus and Christine, I think they ought to give you two mics when you get up here. Because I can sense Stan the whole time is holding it real tight because he feels like he's going to lose it. Listen, before I share the word, I would like to present this, the Alabama Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God Certificate of Appreciation and Recognition. On the 25th day of July, 2021, with gratitude and appreciation, the Alabama Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God recognizes that Lake City Assembly of God has been a part of this fellowship for 40 years. The energy and life this congregation brings to the community is uplifting to the kingdom of God. The scripture says, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Pastor? Yes, amen. 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 Cindy, I asked her, I said, "Do you want to say anything?" She said, "No." So it's a privilege today to be a part of last night's and today's celebration. And, you know, in the life of the church, that's over 2,000 years old, this is a young church. I mean, this is a young church. Because 2 weeks ago, I was at a 100th celebration. Next month, I'll be at another 100th celebration. So you're just babies. Amen? You're just babies. God's got so much in store. And it's so great for us to be with Pastor Gary and Renee Kraft and this Lake City family, and with Brother and Sister Broadus. We just commend you. I want you to look to Acts. I don't know why I said Acts. Where'd that come from? I want you to look to, I preach from Acts a lot. I'm sorry. I'm finishing up my dissertation for my doctorate, and I've been locked in Acts for weeks now. Everything I was talking to some guys the other day, and I said, "Look, I've got to get off this call. I got to get back to Mars Hill and help Paul deal with the Athenians and what's going on there." So anyway, 2 Kings chapter 2. If you'll be turning there, appreciate it. What I want to pose today, a question. Are you ready for God's next in your life? Are you ready for God's next in your life? You mentioned Brother Lambert. Brother Lambert used to say this, and you probably remember this. What God does next is always better than what he did before. What's God's next for you this morning? Let me challenge you with that. Father, in these minutes that we have left together this morning, I pray that the portal of heaven will open into this room, and your fresh anointing, the wisdom of heaven, the unction of heaven will fill this place, God, and will rest upon each of us as that chapter 2 experience they had in the upper room. May that anointing fill this room and inspire us and challenge us and help us, Lord, to focus on your next for our lives. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, any needs in this room will be met by him. And everyone said, amen. Amen. In the first verse of chapter 2 of 2 Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And verse 4 says, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Elijah wasn't satisfied with God's now. He wanted God's next. Amen? Did you hear me? He wasn't satisfied with God's now. He wanted God's next. Why did Elisha, in three times, he said, I'm not leaving you. Three times Elijah said, stay here. Three times he said, no way. I'm going with you to your meeting with the fiery chariot. But the sons of the prophets, notice this, the word says, they stood some distance away. Not everyone is willing to pay for the ticket to get from here to there. Not everyone wants to pay the price to move from where you're at to where God wants you to be. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, sooner you get in, sooner we're going to get out. You know, you can study me. You can watch. You can say, well, I'm afraid to say amen. Well, let me tell you what, it'll get me up to 90 miles an hour. Are you willing to pay whatever it takes? In 1936, a 17-year-old Bob Feller became the pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. And he was so good that he played 18 seasons for them, only missing 4 years because he joined the Navy in World War II. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1965 and is considered to be one of the greatest right-handed pitchers in all of baseball history. His fastball was so intimidating, they call him Bullet Bob. And in his career, he struck out 2,581 batters who faced him. What a career. When he was nine years old, his teacher asked him to write an essay on an oak tree. And here's what he wrote. An oak tree can be cut down and sawed into boards. You can make baseball bats out of them. You can also make home plates out of the boards. And you can take the boards and make bleachers so people can watch baseball. Do you think he wanted to be a baseball player? You better believe it. And he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. This guy was committed to playing baseball. Everything about him oozed with baseball. This is what's going on with Elijah. Elijah says, I'm not staying where I am. I'm going where God's next is for my life. I don't want to park here. I want to go there. Amen. Are you committed this morning to finding what God has for you? I'm talking about going to that next place. Listen, here in this story in 2 Kings, Israel completes a powerful chapter in their history with the prophet Elijah. What? I mean, it was amazing. and what God's next is for them is about to come. What does the next look like for you this morning? What's the next look like for Lake City? Where's God going? What's going to happen in the next decade? What's going to happen when that time cap? I know a lot of us are saying, we just hope the Lord will also take that capsule up when He takes us up. We don't know. We don't know if it'll be 10 years. I'm telling you, I believe there's a rustling in the heavenlies. The marriage supper of the Lamb's getting ready to happen. I'm believing for that. And that's why we must be willing not to sit where we're at, but to go where He wants us to go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at our text. Here's a story of the life of a man who was committed to being a great prophet. His name was Elisha. And about 3 years before, you know the story. We don't have time this morning, but you know the story. Elijah passes by Elisha when he's plowing a field. Takes his cloak off and throws it on him, which means I've selected you. The mantle's been put upon you. Just like that many years ago, God put that mantle on you two to come here. God put His mantle on Elijah to follow Elijah, to go from where he was to where he's got to go. You can't go to where God wants you to go if you want to stay parked where you're at. Come on. We don't know all the things. We just know the fact that he broke up the plow, slaughtered an oxen, had a feast, fed all of his friends and family, and took off and followed the man of God. And he's looking now. Here's where we're at now. The man of God that he followed over 3 years earlier is about to be taken up in a whirlwind. And the prophet says, no, I'm not missing one moment of what God's got for me. I'm going to go there. Elijah began the journey in Gilgal and went to Bethel and then to Jericho and finally to the Jordan River to be caught up with God. And as the story unfolds, here's what's going on. He turns to Elijah three times and says, stay here. You know what? There are going to be times where God's going to test you and want you to stay here. He's going to want you to stay in your now. But you've got to be willing to say, God, now's too comfortable. I want to get up from here and go there. I want to find your next for my life. I want the fullness of your anointing on my life. I want to see what's next for me. It's always easier to stay where you are than to go where you got to go. Elijah refuses and says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And this happens over and over again. Elijah was willing to go as far as he needed to go to be in the plan of God. Listen to me. It's too easy to stay in your comfort zone. It's too easy to stay where you're at. You say, well, I've got it made. Yeah. Well, God doesn't want you to live where you got it made. He wants you to go where He's got it made for you. Amen. Elijah was willing to go as far as he needed to go to be in the plan of God. Now, there's something that caught my attention. And each of these areas that he visited, you notice it in the Word. There seems to be a Bible college of sorts. The school of the prophets are in all these places. And it looks like Elijah's doing like a farewell tour. He's going by each of these schools as he's about to leave. And as he goes by, I want you to notice something. None of the prophets want to tag along. None of the prophets want to tag along. None of them seem to be interested in seeing the fiery chariot. In fact, 2 Kings 2:7 says, 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. You know, they wanted to see what was going on, but they didn't want to get too close to it. Now, don't shout me down when I'm telling you the truth in this room. They wanted to see what's going on, but they didn't want to get too close. So what's the deal? A lot of people want to see what God's doing. But it's another thing to get them to participate in what God's doing. Amen? Well, when it comes down to this, they didn't want to go that far, and they didn't want to get that close. And when it comes to following God, that's what happens to people. They don't want to go too far or to get too close. T.F. Tenney said, Jesus fed 5,000, but only 500 followed him after lunch. He had 12 disciples, but only 3 went further into the garden, and only 1 stood with him at the cross. He says the closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. You see, some people are afraid of getting too close. They don't want to go there. It's like they're afraid if they get too close, God's going to want more out of them. Amen? God's going to want them to do more. So they stand back at a distance because they're afraid. But Elijah wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid at all. He was ready. He was committed. He wanted to go to wherever he had to go and do whatever he had to do to see what God was going to do in his life. He was not afraid of failure. He repeatedly told Elijah, I'm going with you. I'm not going to leave you. Quit asking me to stay here. Wherever you go, I'm going. You see, there's an anointing that God has. There's a flow that God has. And you can't get in the flow if you stand on the bank and watch the flow go. You got to jump in. You say, well, I'm scared. Like me when I was probably 10 years old in Boy Scouts, Camp Pushmataha. That's an Indian name, if you were wondering. Up towards Citronelle. Went up to the Boy Scout camp that year, and they had a red, white, and blue pool. Actually, it wasn't a pool. It was a lake, but it was stationed off in areas, red, white, and blue. Well, red was the one out there that non-swimmers got in. Blue was the one that you kind of could swim. And white was the one that you could swim and didn't have to worry about it. Now, you got to think, I'm 10 years old. I'm with my peers. And they're asking me, which pool do I want to swim in? Now, what's a 10-year-old Boy Scout with his peers going to say? Give me the red one. I'm scared. Give me the blue one. I'm not sure. No, give me the white one. I can do anything. I jumped in the white, and within 45 seconds, they had a long hook pulling me out of that area. And they learned I can't. See, we're afraid if we jump in, it'll be over our head. We're afraid if we jump in, something's going to happen. But I'm telling you, you've got to be willing not to stay where you are if you want to get to where you're going. You've got to be willing to believe that God's got more for you. There's a prayer somebody once prayed. We may need to pray. Dear God, your will, nothing else. Excuse me. Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Did you hear me? Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. So Elijah wasn't afraid to follow Elijah because he knew Elijah would lead him into the presence of God and the plan. He knew that Elijah would lead him to his next. See, it's so easy to park where we're at. It's so easy to stay here. Kind of like the story of the little girl who stayed at her grandparents, and sometime after she had went to bed. They heard her plump fall out of the bed. They go running in there to rescue this granddaughter. They say, baby, what happened? What happened? She said, well, Grandma, I guess I just tried to sleep too close to where I got in. See, that's the way we are. We want to stay close to where we got in. We want to stay close to what we feel safe. We don't want to move on. And listen to me, Lake City. Listen to me, folks, this morning. We're celebrating 40 years. I thank God for 40 years. 40 years in the Hebrew understanding was a generation. So we need to understand a generation has brought us to this day, but there's a new generation that God's raising up to take us to the next place. God wants us to move from now to the next that He has for our lives, for this church, and for this community. If you don't go there, this community will suffer. He was willing to go as far as it took to be in the plan of God. Elijah did it because he wasn't satisfied with just getting by. Now listen to me. The other prophets were doing the work of God. You know, staying in now doesn't mean you're a sinner. Staying in now just means you're in. But just getting in isn't enough sometimes. You got to be willing to go to next. Amen. The other prophets were in the now. But Elijah wanted the next. You understand me? Amen. You don't want to settle for where you're at. You want to go to where God has you to go. Let me tell you a secret I learned a long time ago. Wherever God orders you to go, that's where He sends your blessings. If you stay in the now and not in the next, then you're going to miss a lot that God's sending to what He wants you to do. So I want to challenge you today, be willing to move to the next that God has for you and your family and for this church and this community. These prophets were satisfied with the way things were. They didn't really want to do anything extra. And if you're satisfied with less, guess what you're going to get? Oh, that was not a hard question. Less? You're going to live in less? In other words, don't be satisfied with just getting by in your faith. Strive for the more. This is what Elijah was shooting for. He wanted all that God had for him. It's so easy to park in now. It's so easy to get comfortable. I understand. Cindy and I left Bible school and seminary and went to a church of 35 people. It was an exciting church. I know when we hit 60, I had a lady come to me crying. She said, "We're getting too big." Then when we hit 100, another lady came to me crying and said, "I've changed churches without changing pews." Well, you know, when you are in a lifeboat, it's going to get crowded if it's doing its job. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a good place. That back amen corner should have caught that one. He wasn't afraid to ask for it. When they crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, Elijah and Elisha, he says, "Ask what I shall do for you." You see, if you keep following God and don't let little things that come against you in your family, your job, or whatever situation, those things that want you to stay here, he wouldn't stay there. He kept saying, "Nope, where you go, I go. God, where you flow, I flow. What you do, I want to do." And he kept following until he came to that point. "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elisha said, "I want a double portion." Amen. Don't you love that? He didn't just say, "I want what you got." He said, "I want twice what you got." Anybody that brave? Come on. How many of you want a double? Oh, four people. My. We're not going to be through with this sermon for a while then. You know, when I was a little boy, went up in Monroe County, stayed with my grandparents. They didn't have the public conveniences that we have today. They lived on the end of a dirt road. Out front was a beautiful, shiny red water pump. And you know what sat on top of that thing? A can. You know what was in the can? Water. You know why? It's a primer. And those old pumps, if you didn't pour that can of water in there, you would never get water. You'd just go, psh, nothing's going to come, but you put a primer. I remember one day, I was hot playing in the yard. I went by and saw that primer cup. I took it and drank it down. Put the cup back and went on. My granddaddy called me later and said, he couldn't talk, please. He didn't call me Kenneth, he called me Tennis. He said, "Tennis, you done drank the primer water, boy." I didn't know what primer water was, Pastor. I was thirsty and wondering what was there. You see, sometimes we want to park and drink the primer. We don't understand that God's given us what He's given us, not for us to enjoy it and fill our thirst. He's given it to us so we can prime things and get a flow going so everybody in our family, now all our friends in this community, will see the flow of God's living water flowing into them. My granddaddy sent me almost a mile away to fill that cup. There was a dipper and a bucket up on the porch, but he wouldn't let me fill the primer. He taught me a lesson. You don't drink the primer. I'm telling you, listen to me, church. Don't make me get down and get among you. You've got to understand something in this house. You've enjoyed the blessings of God. You don't understand what you've got that others don't have. But there's people in this community. There are people in your families. There's people yet to come that need the flow of God. They need the living water to flow through their soul. But we're sitting here drinking the primer water and enjoying everything and not realizing we've got to take it out there and we've got to prime the pump and let the water flow to change this generation, to reverse the curse that hell has on our friends and our children and our grandchildren. God is wanting to use this church with a double portion of His anointing. He said, "You've asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." You know, God never wants you to park. He wants you to stay in the move of the Spirit. You say, "But Pastor, you get tired." Well, that's why the Word says we're going to have our rest. But it's not here. It's not here. Elijah didn't want to be a second-rate follower. He wanted the best of what God had. He wanted all that God could give him. And let me tell you, it's interesting here. What did he ask him for? A double portion. And if you look in verses 13 through 15, we're not going to go there. We don't have time. But we're told that once he was carried away and the cloak fell, he took the cloak. He walks back to the Jordan River. He takes it and slaps it and says, "Where's the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had smote the water was parted, and on one side and on the other, and Elijah went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." Let me tell you, what God's done here for 40 years, he wants to do for another 40 unless the trumpet blows. He wants a double portion. He wants people to be broken loose from the curse that's had them bound down. Men and women on drugs and alcohol. People that are held by Satan's lies. He wants to set the captive free. Oh, come on. We're celebrating, but we can't live in the rearview mirrors. We've got to look out into the vision of next that God has for this church and for your lives. And what happened? Elijah recorded 14. Elijah recorded 28 miracles in his ministry. I'm telling you, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah is what they said. God, I just pray. Why should we settle for half of what you have for us when we can have all that you have in your plan for our lives? Now may be good, but next is better. Amen. Now may be good, but next has double. We shouldn't be satisfied with getting by. Oh, in case somebody's wondering, I'm almost through. You can just kind of, you know. We shouldn't be satisfied with getting by in our faith. We should want everything God has in store for us. You know, it's interesting. Elisha realized the only way he could get the double portion was if God gave it to him. Because Elijah said, "I can't give it to you. You just got to be there." See, this church can't give it to you. This pastor can't give it to you. That pastor can't give it to you. You just got to be there. Amen. When God does it and step into it. I love the flow of that anointing. You never know. I remember the Sunday night, we had a baptismal service scheduled. We had 8 people being baptized on that Sunday night. Teen Challenge was with us. They were going to speak. And I began to do the baptisms at the beginning. I'd have the worship team come up and we'd do it because you know how people are. You do it at the end, they leave. They don't watch the baptism. Well, I've seen that before. So we had the worship team do a couple songs, and I had the people lined up. We started baptizing. First one came up speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost coming out of the water. Next one comes up speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost coming out of the water. The thing went ballistic in the tank. It went crazy. It went so crazy that night we baptized 112 people. You say, "How did you do that?" People started getting up and getting in line and say, "I need to get in that tank. I need a double portion. I want more. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go where God had." I had people in our church going and opening their trunks, getting yard sale clothes out to put on people so they could get baptized. We had people filled and anointed. I'm telling you, it was one guy came into the tank and said, "Pastor, here's my wallet. Baptize it too. It needs to get saved." Okay, wallets we need to baptize here today. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. What I'm telling you is, we can't be satisfied with here. You can't just believe it's going to be ordinary. Walk into this room expecting the supernatural to step into this place and reverse the curse that God wants to do in people's lives to take it away. I heard the story, and I'm closing. I heard the story of these two boys that came out of the junior boys Sunday school class. And the lesson had been on Elijah and Elisha, about him being taken up in the fiery chariot. One boy asked the other and he said, "Wouldn't you be afraid to ride in a fiery chariot?" The little boy looked at him and said, "Well, it depends on who's driving." Amen. You know, sometimes we got to realize that if God's in charge, He will sweep us up into a new anointing, into a fresh place, and do a fresh thing. If God's driving the chariot, it's good. It'll be safe. And anywhere He leads, we can go. You can't get to where God wants you to be. This church can't be the church God wants it to be without faith. Pastor said it earlier, it's through prayer. You can't park where you are if you want to get to where God's got for you. You can't camp out in now. Remember what they said at the Jordan. He said, the Lord said, break your tent. Pack it up. We're going across. You can't get across as long as you got your tent stakes too deep and where you're at now. Do you believe this morning that God's plan is for more in your life? How many of you believe God's plan is for more? To experience His presence. To see this church reach its God-given potential. To see you reach God's plan for your life. How far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to pay? I heard it said one time and I like it. God wants to take you where you've never been. To show you what you've never seen, so you can do what you've never done. Do you believe that today? God wants to take you where you've never been. You know why? So you can see what you've never seen. You know why? So you can do what you've never done. Are you ready for God's next in your life? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Pastor's going to be joining me. With heads bowed, how many of you just be honest, sincere, in this private moment with God, how many of you would be honest and say, Brother Ken, today, I'm not satisfied in my now. I want to go to God's next for me. But I need faith. I need the courage of the Holy Spirit. I get tired. I get weary. I get worn out. But I realize that there's a refreshing that God brings. Out of your belly, He said, shall flow rivers of living water. How many of you today, with nobody looking, for just a moment, just be honest and say, I want God's next for my life. Just slip your hands up around this house. Hands are going up all over this house. I want God's next. I don't want to stay parked here. I want to go there. How do you get there? It's a choice. You're going to come to roadblocks. You're going to come to intersections. And you got to be willing when you cross into that intersection, when you come across that roadblock, you're going to got to be willing to say, I'm not staying here. I'm going on to God's next for my life. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. Let me ask this question. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would get in trouble with the one who sent me if I didn't do this. Nobody looking around. Don't want to embarrass anyone upstairs or downstairs. How many of you just be real honest today? Say, Brother Ken, today I walked in this room, but I wasn't in the place I need to be with God. I wasn't living where I need to live. I wasn't walking like I need to walk. I wasn't thinking like I need to think. But today, I know I'm in trouble spiritually, but I want to hit reset in my spiritual life. I don't want to walk out of here like I walked in here. I want to walk out of here knowing that I know in my knower that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Not just feeling it, but knowing it. So, Pastor Ken, today, before we leave here, would you pray for me? I want to hit reset in my spiritual life. I want to turn it around. I want Him to forgive me, to cleanse me, to take away all my sin and everything that's put against my account. Today, I want to walk out with a new sheet, a new way, a new day. I want God to help me hit reset and walk out in faith today. Not like I came in, but a new person. Nobody looking. How many lift hands and say, that's me? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip it up and right back down. Preacher, pray for me when you preach. When you pray. That's me. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? I need to hit reset. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I don't want to walk out like I walked in. The Word says I'm a new creation. I want God to do a creative work in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Another hand. Nobody looking. Yes, thank you. Is there another? While I wait just a moment, I feel compelled of the Spirit just to pause a second more. Is there another? Come on. Yes. Anyone else? One last time. You say, I don't want to walk out like I walked in. I want to take hold of his hand. I don't want to stay parked where I'm at. I'm in trouble. But I believe today I can hit reset and get my spirit back online with God properly. Anyone else? One last time, I'm asking. Just slip it up and down. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone? Anyone? Hallelujah. Father, this morning, these that have lifted their hands, I believe there's a work of grace in this house. Now, Lord, I realize that we could have them run, we could have them scream out or whatever, but it's an inside job, not an outside job. It's got to take place in them. All over this house, pray this prayer with me, especially if you lifted your hand. Pray this prayer. Everybody out loud, it'll help everybody. Dear Jesus.
Today.
I surrender. I don't ever want to be the same. In
Jesus' name.
Never the same. A new creation.
With a fresh vision.
A desire.
That is a God desire.
Forgive me.
Cleanse me.
Remove any shortcomings.
Any guilt.
Anything against my account.
Through the blood of Jesus.
I'm cleansed. I accept you, Lord.
As my Savior.
My Lord and my King. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Would you lift your hands and praise God with me?
Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor's going to give us instructions.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Ken. I want you to take this paper in your hand. I want you to dare. By the way, this is not just a token. This is not a gimmick to me. I want this to be a real prayer.
Amen.
A real prayer that you're willing to continue to pray until Jesus comes.
Amen.
I'm not saying you pray it every day. But I want you to write something on here that really, something that'll stretch you. Something that'll stretch your faith. Something that will stretch your action and where you're living at, just as Pastor Ken just challenged us. I believe that God wants to do greater things, that He doesn't want us individually nor this church to stay where we're at. He wants us to make that progress into a new place in our own walk with God. But this prayer is not just for you personally. This prayer is for the church. And what, I mean, just look at it like this. If you could ask God to do anything and you know that He would do it, what would you write down? What would you write down? So I just challenge you, just take a moment. Just take a moment and write it. And we're going to be bringing in the time capsule, and we're going to lay it right here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to come forward and just drop yours in the box. Just come and drop it in the box. We'll make sure they're coming with it. Great is thy faithfulness. There you are, brother. Virgil is the keeper of the box today. Father, I pray that You would give us prayers now. I pray that You would inspire a new dream for a new place, a new way. God, as Brother Ken just said, Lord, to go somewhere we hadn't been in our spiritual lives as a church, to see things we haven't seen, to do things we haven't done. Lord, we ask You to do that. Birth that prayer in us, God. Birth it in us. Lord, we pray in agreement today that You want to do greater things than any of us will probably write down. That, Lord, You have given prophetic utterances over this house, over this worship, this group that worship together called Lake City. Lord, over this spiritual family, You have brought prophetic utterances that show us things that are greater than maybe we've even been praying. stretch us today. Help us dare believe that you can do more than we even ask or think or imagine, and dare ask you for it, and dare continue praying until the trumpet sounds, and dare be a part of the answer to our own prayers by engaging ourselves in ministry, in worship, in service, in love. Thank you, Father. Now, if you've written something down and you're ready, I've written mine down. I'm going to put it right here. If you would just get up from your seat and come drop it in there, and then we're going to seal the lid and we're going to walk out the door and go around this way and put it in the hole. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Just not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. How I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has everybody brought one? We got one or two more. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Virgil's going to come, and Virgil and Chris are going to come. They're going to seal this up. We're going to go out the door, this door here, and go this way. In case you're wondering, there's not going to be much ceremony out there. I mean, we encourage you to go with us, but we're going to say just a brief prayer, put it in the dirt, in the hole, and cover it up. And we'll be putting a marker on it later. Would you just raise your hands with me and just say, thank you for your faithfulness, O God. Thank you for your faithfulness today, O God. Lord, as we agree in prayer today, we dare believe for greater things than we are now experiencing. We dare ask you for a greater next than our now, as we have heard so ably this morning. Father God, we commit all these together and we pray in agreement. We join our faith together in agreement and we ask you, manifest your power and grace, your glory and your goodness in the coming years, O God, should you tarry your coming that long. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. All right.
If you responded to our message today, or if you would like prayer for a specific need, please get in contact with us using the link below. If you would like to worship through giving, you can visit our website, lakecityag.org, and click the Give button. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great week.